Brother Stevenson, preach to me. Can you Stevenson, preach to me?
Oh, that's it. Let's lift our hands, our voice to the Lord one more time. Oh, God, we thank you for your presence that's here, God, for what you've already accomplished in this place tonight. Oh, we're quick to give you thanks, quick to give you the glory and the honor that's due to your name, Jesus. Oh, we love you. We worship you. Oh, come on, you're not finished yet, are you? Oh, he's worthy of everything that we have and so much more. We can never praise him enough. We can never worship him enough. Our words can never adequately express, oh, what he so deserves tonight. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I'm thankful for what the Lord has already done in this service. I learned a long time ago that the Lord can do more in 3 minutes than what we can try to do in 3 days. That's why we got to be sensitive enough and obedient enough to just let him have his way. It's his church. It's his bride. I think he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. He knows what we have need of tonight. And those of you that responded, don't stop. Don't stop. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. I talked about it a little bit this morning. If he says you can't make it, you can. Oh, well, my marriage is going to... No, it's not. It's going to be strong. You're going to be a pillar. You're going to be an asset to the kingdom of God. You're going to be a soul winner. You're going to be a Bible study teacher. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The devil is a liar. There is no truth in him. Your brother, I don't know what to call you. Reverend, the bishop, the esteemed pastor in training. No, I love him. He knows what he is. Y'all know what he is. I want to give respect where respect is due and appreciate him and his sensitivity tonight. And God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Luke chapter 13, verse 11. Luke 13, 11. There's just something about somebody that's in the middle of the trial, and the Spirit of God begins to move, and they begin to respond, not caring what anyone else thinks. Oftentimes, that person's the key to break open that service. Oh, to let a wave of anointing sweep through a house. Oh, God. Lord, help us today. Luke 13, verse 11 says, "And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years." That's a long time. So she was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. It didn't take 2 weeks. It didn't take a 12-step program. It says immediately. Immediately. One touch of the master's hand and everything was changed. In a moment, her situation was turned around. I don't believe that all... be very long this evening, but I need you to help me tonight. I believe that God desires to move again in this place before we leave this service. But he needs you to open your heart. He needs you to allow him to move freely in your life, in your family, in this church at large. For the sake of a title this evening, I just want to preach to you on this simple thought, victory in the house. Victory in the house. Why don't we lay down our Bibles, lift our hands, just ask God to speak to you. Maybe you've been praying about some things. Ask God, "Lord, would you give me an answer tonight? God, would you move as only you can? God, you see the needs of this place. Every soul that is here. God, I pray, move and minister as only you can. God, open the windows of heaven. Let us come, God. The coals of the Lord. Oh, we want you. We desire you and your will to be done more than anything else in this service tonight, God. Oh, we love you. We magnify you. We exalt you tonight. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, you're wonderful. Lord, you're mighty. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. You can be seated. It should go without saying tonight that we serve an almighty, all-powerful God. I believe that it's the desire of God that everyone under the sound of my voice before this service is over tonight would be able to stand and say, "Hey, there's only one God. His name is Jesus, and he has all power in heaven and earth." It's my prayer tonight that if you're in this place and that you have a need, that you would receive what you have a need of before you leave this place. If you're in this place and you've never experienced the power of the Holy Ghost the Bible way, God desires to meet with you before this service is over tonight. He desires to touch you. He desires to strengthen somebody. He desires to deliver you if that's what's necessary. It doesn't matter the situation. It doesn't matter the circumstance. My God is still on heaven's throne tonight. 1 Chronicles 29:11 says, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand is to make great and give strength to all." I'm telling you, if you need strength tonight, the strength giver is in this place. If you need help tonight, the way maker is in this place today. You see, the God that we serve isn't just buried in some grave somewhere. He didn't just live a nice, fulfilled life and be wasted away to be written in a history books. But the God that we serve left heaven's throne, robed himself in flesh, dwelt among humanity, and he gave his life on Calvary's cross. He was put in an old rugged tomb, but that tomb doesn't hold him today. Because 3 days later, he rose again, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. My God is still on heaven's throne this evening. My God is still the great I am tonight. He is still mighty in victory. He is still both able and willing to work and to move in any and every situation that you and I ever will or ever could face. We know that in the beginning he spoke and things happened. He spoke and his word began to form things. He formed the heaven and the earth. We know that God formed Adam out of the dust of the ground and breathed the breath of life into him. We know that throughout the Old Testament, God showed himself strong over and over again, showed himself capable, showed himself powerful. He delivered Israel out of bondage. He went before them and fought their battles for them. Time after time, he brought victory after victory after victory. You see, it was never God's will for his people to stay defeated. There were times that he allowed it to happen. But oftentimes it was just to get their attention. For that he could say, "Hey, you see that struggle you're going through? Have you realized you can't do it by yourself? Would you let me step in? Would you reach out to me? Would you let me show you how much I love you? Let me show you that I've got heaven and earth in my hands and I can move in a moment." It's never God's will for his church to be defeated. Not for his people to be bound. It's never God's will for his people to stay afflicted. But from the very beginning of time, God, your pastor already said it, desired humanity to be his people and for his people to have fellowship with him, to walk with him in truth, to walk with him in victory, to walk with him in liberty. But the enemy desired something else. The enemy desires to bind us, to kill us, to destroy us. If you've never made a start for God, he doesn't want you to. He doesn't want you to admit you have a problem. He doesn't want you to admit that you can't make it on your own. And if you've lived for God, he doesn't want you to continue living for God. He wants you to fail. He wants you to fall into sin. He wants you to make a mockery out of the church and out of the God that you serve. Oh, God, help me today. You see, sin and the enemy of our soul desires to steal, to kill, and to destroy. John 10:10 said, "The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill and to destroy." But he said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Oh, hallelujah. I want to have life. I want to live it the way God wants me to live it. But I'm telling you today, if the devil hates anything, he hates to see folks that start making steps towards God, start making steps in the right direction. He hates to see young people. He hates to see young adults, old adults that are doing their best to live right, to be right, to do right. He hates to see people that have a love for God and convictions of their own. He hates to see people that aren't intimidated to take some stands against the world, that aren't intimidated to say, "Hey, there's just some things we're not going to do because we want to please the Lord." The enemy of your soul hates each one of us tonight. I hope you heard that. I hope that settles in today. He hates you. "Oh, but he wants me to have a good..." No, he hates you. The man of God already said it. He messed up. He fell from the favor of God. He doesn't have a chance to reconcile. But you, God can call you out of darkness, fill you with the Holy Ghost, put you on a church pew, and you can fall straight on your face.
But you could come back to an altar and cry out and say, God, I need your help. And God will wash you again. He'll wrap his arms around you again. The devil's jealous of that relationship. He's jealous of that opportunity that we have. Oh, hallelujah. That's why he fights so much. Why? Because he wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to drag you down to the pits of sin and shame. He wants to rob you of your testimony. He wants to make a wreck out of your family. He wants to make a wreck out of your family. He wants to make a wreck out of your children. Oh, he wants to rob you of any and all potential you would have for the kingdom of God. Why? Because more than anything, he wants you to accompany him in a lake of fire for eternity. Oh, God. 1 Peter 5 and 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, a pretender, a fake, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We each have an enemy right now that's been watching us all service. He watched you when you walked through the back doors of this sanctuary tonight. He was watching to see, are they praying or are they just going through the motions? Are they worshiping or are they just... Even now, he said, hey, are they listening and applying the word? Are they letting faith arise in their heart? Are they just ready to get out of here? Do I got them right where I want them? Oh, God, help us tonight. Telling you, he's just waiting for an opportunity to take advantage. Waiting for an opportunity to set a snare and a trap. Waiting for an opportunity to wrap his arms around you and to drag you down. The devil doesn't mind if you go to church. He don't mind at all. I've said it before. He don't mind if you pay your tithes. He don't mind if you love the leadership here. He don't mind if you love the worship. He doesn't mind if you come and get a blessing every now and then. He don't care as long as you don't let it change you. As long as you don't let it affect you. As long as you leave this house the same way that you came. He don't care if you come. But when you come and you begin to respond. But when you come and you leave different. You lay some things on the altar. That's when he gets nervous. Oh, hallelujah. Well, he knows, hey, if I can keep them from responding, if I can bind up their prayer, if I can bind up their worship, if I can keep that daddy from leading his family the ways they should go, then I've got them right where I want them. I've won the fight. I've got them. I've got them. Now, I realize tonight my title wasn't bound in the house, so just wait with me a minute, okay? It's going to get better, I hope. If not, I'll just drop the mic and slide out the side door, and you guys act like I never was here. But he knows that if he can keep you from responding to the word of God, that it's enough to take you out of the fight. It's enough to destroy your soul. Young person, saint of God, visitor friend, how long has it been since you really prayed? I'm not saying, Lord, bless me. How long since you really prayed? Where nothing else mattered. God, I want to be saved. God, I want your favor on my family. God, is there anything in my life that's hindering you? Is there anything in my life that's keeping me from receiving that promise of the Holy Ghost? God, if you show me, I'll lay it down. God, if you show me, I'll give it to you. I want you. I want your favor more than anything in this world. How long since you really worshiped? I'm not saying just a hand clap here. Since you worshiped in spirit and in truth. It's already been stated several times in this service tonight, but I too can recall the first service I ever walked in that was apostolic. The worship was like nothing I'd ever seen before. Because brother, like you, I went to that church where it was quiet. They didn't even clap their hands when they got done singing a worship song. They just, oh man. And if you was awake still, you might say it. But it was boring, it was dead, there was no life in it. Everybody was 75 to 90 years old. I'm just being honest. I remember walking into an apostolic church. The guitars, the drums, all that going, and wow, this is neat. Then all of a sudden, here comes somebody running the lap, jumping a jump. I'm sure my eyes were, what is going on? These people are crazy. But the man already said it. When we was in the world, we weren't ashamed at the football game. We weren't ashamed at the rodeo. We weren't ashamed where our God was, where our heart was. We gave it our all. If the devil wants to rob anything, he wants to rob apostolic worship. He wants to rob men and women that remember, hey, I once was lost, but God found me. I once was bound, but God delivered me. bring about true apostolic worship. There's nothing like it in the world. The charismatics can try to fake it, but it's not the same. They can break out the smoke machines, the fog lights, whatever. It's not the same. There's something about that anointing. There's something about that moving of God's Spirit. There's something about that old faithful saint of God that remembers, I was nothing. I was lost. My marriage was a wreck. I couldn't hold a job, but God stepped in. God called me when I didn't deserve it. We can't afford to ever forget what God's done for us. The moment we forget and we lose our worship, we lose our praise, then the devil's already got another notch on his belt. How long has it been since you really worshiped? How long has it been, sister, since you didn't care what those around you thought till you shook your head and screamed and bobby pins flew everywhere? Those are the services I remember as a new convert. What's going on? Oh, my goodness, incoming fire. No, it's just bobby pins flying 90 miles an hour. A high heel shoe going across. What's going on? But talk about victory. Talk about breakthroughs. I remember prayer meetings as a young man. I remember an evangelist Andrew Howard. This was probably 15 years ago or so. Come to the home church, and we was working with the youth group at that time. And he was just, every Friday, he's like, he talked to Bishop Howard, and we were all meeting together and praying. He's like, you know, there's a depth that God wants to take us that I feel that if we just press beyond, we just get beyond our intimidation. And it's easy to be like, oh, yeah, I believe that. But when you have to step out, or you got to get prompted to respond a certain way, then, well, let Brother Hilton do it, and then I'll follow. Yeah, you're guilty. We all are. But I remember the first Friday we met, it was just prayer. It was good. But nobody pressed beyond. They just did, you know, what they knew to do, and some people broke through here and there, but nothing crazy. But I believe, my wife could probably tell me, but it's probably the second or third time. There we was, Friday night prayer meeting, just young people between 12 and 19. It went on to probably about 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. And before the service was over, there was 8 that couldn't walk, that didn't know where they was, that was so drunk under the power of the Holy Ghost that we had to pick them up and stick them in their vehicles where they could be driven home. I'm telling you, my God hasn't changed. What has changed is us and our desire and our hunger. My God will still meet us here. My God can still deliver you if you want it today. My God can fill you with the Holy Ghost and fire before this service is over. But you got to be hungry, and you got to be willing to step out from where you are and to come to an altar. Not worry about what others will say about you, but just get something in your heart that says, I can't leave the same that I came. I need an answer. I need a miracle. I need you to move, God. Oh, the devil wants to rob us of everything that God has for us. That's why he dilutes the word of God. That's why there's slews of churches that don't follow anything that's inside of this. But they'll follow their little guide that they wrote. Oh, God, help us. But in the time of our scripture, this woman was bound for 18 years. How many here is younger than 18? A few. A few wish you were. Yeah. 18 years is a long time. A long time for a woman to be bowed over in an uncomfortable position. I wonder how it all started for her. It's probably like some of us, you know, we do something we probably shouldn't have done, lifting something, and you wake up that next day and you got that pain in your back. Ah, what is that? Oh, man, give me some Icy Hot. Babe, would you rub that? Maybe there's a knot there. And it'll get better in a day or so, right? And the next day, a little worse. Next day, a little worse. This woman, maybe she thought it would get better, but every day was worse and worse. Days became weeks. Weeks became months. Years finally passed, and she never got any better, but anything, she got worse. That woman that used to be able to walk around and interact with people and enjoy maybe the scenery, the birds, now all she sees is the feet. All she sees is nothing's enjoyable anymore. It's just pain, bondage. I'm bound up. I'm bowed over, miserable. But she learned to live in that bound up state. She learned to live with it. Make excuses for it, maybe. That's how sin is, too. Right? The meth head or the drug addict, they don't start out being like, you know what I want to be when I grow up? I want to be a crackhead. That's not how it starts. But they're somewhere and I'm going to try this a little thing. It's just a little thing. It's not that bad. Then the next time, I got to try a little bit more. And before they know it, they're bowed up, bound by sin, bound by the things of this world. I believe there's some in this service tonight that are just like this woman. That if we could see the spiritual representation of you, we would see a man or a woman or a young person that's just bound over, miserable, desiring to be set free, desiring a breakthrough, desiring a miracle in your life. But the devil's lied to you so much, and you've just learned to put up with it and make excuses. Well, I guess I'm just going to struggle with this from now on. I guess this is just my cross to bear. I guess this is what's going to take me to the grave. I don't deserve a miracle. I don't deserve the promises of God. And you've just believed the lies of the devil. You've just believed them. And I tell you today, you can't handle it. You can't handle it, sir. You can't handle it, ma'am. You can't do it on your own. Only God can deliver. Only God can break the chains. Only God can give you victory. Only God can do it. That little thing will get bigger. That pain in the woman's back got worse and worse every day until it got the best of her, until finally she was bowed completely over. I do think it's worth noting that the Bible does say this wasn't just some sinner woman, but she was actually referred to as a daughter of Abraham. She was a religious woman of that time. She was in the house of the Lord on the Lord's day, so to speak. But she was bound in the house of God. I'm telling you, the devil wants to bind us up in the house. Because what better mockery to the God that we serve if we're bound on the pew? If our altars are bound. If there's no liberty in our worship. If there's no passion in our prayer. Oh, hallelujah. That woman was a faithful woman, but despite her going to church, despite her going through the motions of her religion, she was bound up in the house of the Lord for 18 years. But the day came, like it does for every one of us, that the Lord showed up on the scene. And he allowed her an opportunity to leave different than how she came. The Bible said he spoke to that woman. What did he say? He said, "Woman, thou art loosed from that infirmity." How many times God speak and say, "I'm going to heal you." And the first thing we do is, "I believe it." No, usually the first thing is, "Oh, there's the devil lying again. There's that old devil trying to tell me I'm never going to receive it." He said, "Hey, I'm going to loose you." That woman had a decision to make. She could believe his words and have faith and say, "You know what, maybe today's going to be different. Maybe today is the day this could happen." Or she could have just said, whatever, that's not going to happen, and just go her way, and she'd have left and not received anything. But she somehow had faith, and Bible says he laid his hands upon her. And immediately, 18 years of pain, 18 years of uncomfortableness, 18 years of being bowed over, 18 years of not being able to enjoy the fullness of life, in a moment, I can see again. I can stand up. Look, no pain. Look, a miracle. Look, God moved in my life. Lord, help us today. I'm telling you, my God can do anything. My God can do anything. Oh, God's in this place tonight. And only you know, you and God know what you have need of in this place. But the need supplier is here. The need supplier has been here since the very first knee that was knelt down in pre-service prayer, desiring to move and to work in somebody's life. But you've got to decide, will I respond and will I let Jesus touch me? Will I have faith and will I believe the word of God? Or will I just make excuses for my current situation and walk out the doors the same way that I came? I pray that you don't. Come on. Many of you, if you're honest, over the years, you've tried drugs. You've tried alcohol. You've tried relationships. You've tried religion, and it done nothing for you. Why don't you give Jesus a chance? Why don't you give the one true living God a chance? I'm telling you, he won't disappoint you. Oh, why don't we stand? Somebody, if they want to come to the music. Oh, you might say, well, preacher, that's easy for you to say. What do you know about that? Oh, you've already heard it from several other men here today, too. We're not what you think. Wasn't born in this. Wasn't raised in this. When I come into an apostolic church the first time, I was bound by alcohol. I was bound by tobacco. Bull riding was my hobby, my future, my God in my life. That's what I wanted more than anything. I had to make up my mind. When the word of God went forth and I seen it for what it was, and the man of God said, you got to repent. You got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I had to make that decision. Well, do I try it? I mean, when I was at the Baptist church, they told me to accept the Lord, and I tried it. Nothing happened, but I tried it. I had to battle that thought between my mind. I had to battle that intimidation, that pride. What's everyone going to think? But you know what? I'd already tried alcohol. I'd already tried relationships. I'd already dabbled with drugs. I'd already realized that my answer, maybe there was temporary relief from time to time, but there was never no answer. I didn't see a future. I didn't see a tomorrow. Lord, help me. Let me be honest with you, okay? 2 days before I walked into an apostolic church for that first time, I just got pulled over for a DUI at 16 and a half. I told my parents I'd never do it again. I disappointed them. My mom, my dad was, whatever. My dad died of a drug overdose, so that should tell you something. But I remember my mom and dad being disappointed. I won't do it anymore. Yeah, what a lie. It wasn't a couple days later, smoking weed with one of my friends. Come home stoned out of my mind. Could barely get the door knob. I walked in. My dad was right there, and he smelt it on me. He'd done it before, so he knew what was going on. He said, your mom, if she knew what was going on right now, it would kill her. It would destroy her. And I remember the many times that she cried because of the things that she found of his. And I didn't want to hurt my mom. I was like, what a disappointment I am. I've become just like my dad. I remember sitting in my bedroom, and I had an old Lane Frost Memorial Bible, which was a world champion bull rider that a friend had given me. And I had this Lane Frost Memorial Bible laying right there on my end table, and I looked at it. And I was like, well, maybe he's real. Maybe he's not. I was like, but I can't disappoint mom. And so I grabbed a 30-30 lever action off my wall, and I chambered around. I said, I'm just going to shoot myself. I'm going to end it all right here. And I chambered that round. As I went to sit on the bed, I saw that Bible again. And I grabbed it, and I said, God, if you're real, I've tried religion. It were God, if you're real and you'll help me, I'll serve you all the days of my life. And I cried myself to sleep that night. 2 days later, I walked into an apostolic church for the first time. I can't tell you what the man of God preached, but it connected with my spirit. When that altar call came, I ran to the front. And I just poured it all out to God. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what you're facing. It doesn't matter what heartache you faced in your life. If you'll give it to the Lord, if you'll give him a chance tonight, he can deliver you. He can strengthen you. He can put your marriage back together. He can heal your body. It doesn't matter what you have need of today. But you got to be willing to step out. These altars are open right now.